Yeah, I want to talk this morning. Christmas is one of the busiest times of the year, and in all the activities, it's quite easy to feel like you're being pulled in about 100 different directions, all at the same time. And in that busyness, it can be really hard to find a quiet space and a quiet time, particularly to look to God and turn to Him. So as we look towards the chaos of Christmas, I just wanted to share with you what God has laid on my heart, often at very odd hours of the night when I can't sleep, about what it means to be hidden in God, even in the midst of life. Does this work? It works. The verse that I want to start with is Colossians 3:3, which says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." The verb hidden in the commentary on this verse, which helps me with my Greek grammar because Greek is not my first language. The commentary on this verse states that the Greek form of the verb hidden connotes that God is fully and completely done this action. God has fully completed hiding you in Him and in the past with permanent results. And so I want to take this as our starting point this morning. If you have been saved by Christ this morning, you are hidden in God. God has hidden you in Himself. However you feel, however busy and stretched life gets, you are hidden in God this morning, if you have been saved by Christ. So I kind of want to explore then a little bit about what it means to be hidden in God. What does that mean for us? Hopefully that's big enough for you to read on the screen. I want to look at two different passages, the first one being Psalm 27. And verse 4-6 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. That in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." So in those days, the tabernacle was where the presence of God dwelt. When God hides you, as David says in this psalm, when God hides him in the shelter of His tabernacle and set him high upon a rock, this is David saying, God is hiding me in His presence, and God has hidden me in His presence. So the first thing I want to say is that when we are hidden in God, that means God's presence is with us. Wherever we go, whatever is going on around us, being hidden in God means that God's presence is always with you. And what does that mean? What does it mean to have God's presence with us? From verse 6, we can see that then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. God's presence means that your head is exalted above the enemy. The Bible tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, that we have an enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion, but that lion cannot hurt us. That lion has no power over us. The devil has no power because our head is exalted above him. The presence of God is with you when you are hidden in Him and you are exalted over the enemy. The victory has been won. It was won by Jesus on that cross. And so you, your head can be exalted. You have a table prepared before you in His presence. If we turn to our second passage then, it talks more about what the presence of God means. And I'd actually encourage you to read these two passages, compare the similarities of them in your own time, because they are beautiful to read in tandem together. So the second passage is Exodus 33, and we're going to read first verses 14-17, which says, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name.'" So I want to look at three things from this passage. The first thing is, when God says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. God's presence and being hidden in God is a place of rest. Again, this isn't circumstantial. This isn't dependent on Christmas and how chaotic it is. God's presence is a place of rest. Jesus says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. It's not a state we try and achieve on our own. It's not something we can muster up inside ourselves and be restful. It is something that Jesus gives us when we come to him with all our chaos and all our problems and all our burdens. The second thing I want to look at is Moses knew God's presence. Being hidden in God was a sign of God's pleasure and that God was pleased with him. It says, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? If you are hidden in God this morning, God is pleased with you. His pleasure rests upon you. No matter how you feel, he is pleased with you. No matter what you did yesterday, what you've done this morning, how you've coped in this storm, God is pleased with you this morning. And the third thing I want to look at is Moses knew that God's presence was a sign that he was set apart. It says, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the people on the face of the earth? We've been looking this term, this semester, about being consecrated, set apart for God. Being hidden in God means that you are distinguished from the people on the face of the earth. It means that you are set apart from the world and hidden in God for him, for his glory, and for his purpose. So if you are hidden in God this morning, if you have been saved by God, not only do you have his presence, you are exalted above the enemy. You are in his place of rest. He is pleased with you, and you are set apart by him. And if that isn't enough, the Exodus 33 passage goes on to say that being hidden in God means that we will see God's goodness. It says, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. In the Psalm 27 that we read at the beginning, David was set upon a rock. Here again, Moses is placed on a rock. However, God also sets Moses in the cleft of the rock. There are many passages in the Bible which refer to God as the rock. And the rock where it is cleft is where it has been, it's in the picture there, there's a split in it. It's been torn. The cleft of the rock, the place where the rock is torn in two, the place where God has been torn, was on that cross when he paid that price for your sin and my sin. And in that action, he hid him in himself. So when God placed Moses in the cleft of the rock, he placed him in the sacrifice under the blood of Jesus and hid Moses in himself. So that's what Moses means when he refers to being placed in the cleft of the rock. And it is in this cleft of the rock that God promises that all his goodness passed in front of Moses. His glory and his goodness passed in front. Back in Psalm 27, at the end it finishes, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David could be confident of seeing God's goodness because he knew he was hidden in God. And today, if you are saved and hidden in the presence of God, you can be confident of seeing God's goodness. Whatever your life circumstances may look like, whether Christmas you are looking forward to or not, I promise you that if you are hidden in God, God will cause his goodness to pass in front of you. I don't promise it. God does. And he keeps his promises. So what does being hidden in God look like practically for us? What does this mean for all of us? Oh, look, I'm not keeping up with my slides. If we turn to Song of Solomon, we see again this phrase, the cleft of the rock. And it says, "My dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding place on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." It is from a place of being hidden in God that God wants us to show him our face. Showing God our face means that we will be having to look into the face of God. You cannot show God your face unless you are looking at him. Why would we look at God? Well, firstly, to gaze upon his beauty. Back in Psalm 27, David says, "One thing I seek, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life." What does God want of us while we are hidden in him? He's done the hiding. He wants us to show him our face. He doesn't want us to be looking out at the world, out at what's around us, out at our circumstances and the chaos. He wants us to be looking directly at him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." As we look at God, not only do we see him and see his beauty, he transforms us into the same image from glory to glory. Being hidden in God, looking at his face as he asks us to do, he will transform us into his glory. But that's only if we look at him. We look at him as the author and perfecter of our faith so that we won't grow weary and we can endure. So however you're feeling, if Christmas is a really tiring time for many, look at God, look at Jesus. Don't grow weary and lose heart. He endured the cross for you, and he is transforming you into his image. The other thing God says in this passage, as we're hidden in him, he wants to hear our voice. He says, "Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet." God loves the sound of our voice. He desires for us to talk to him. Matthew 6:6 says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." God says, pray from a place of being hidden in him. Matthew 6:6 says, pray in secret. It's all about that relationship with God, and that's not an external thing. That isn't something that is done in front of people and for people. It's a place that is done in secret. It's something that is done in that quiet time with God. But it can also be done in your heart in the busyness of Christmas. You can still talk to God from your heart, from internally. He hears your internal voice as much as he hears your external voice. God wants to hear your voice. For him, being hidden in him and is all about relationship. It's all about you knowing him better, that you might reflect him more. So this Christmas, as you are hidden in God, might I encourage you to show him your face and let him hear your voice, because that is his deepest desire. What effect will this have on us? Back in Psalm 27, it says, the end, that at his tabernacle I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. From this place of being hidden in God, with his head exalted above his enemies, David says that he will sacrifice with shouts of joy and sing and make music to the Lord. Being hidden in God, looking at him, the effect it has on us means that there will be joy in worship. Romans 12 verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Our act of worship is to lay our lives down as living sacrifices for God. That means taking up our cross. That means choosing him. That means choosing to do the right thing, to not snap when we get stressed at Christmas, to bear with one another in love. But we do this with joy when we look at Jesus. We do this with joy when we are hidden in Jesus, because he transforms us. So as you show God your face and let him transform you, you will find his joy in the worship, in the hard times. But it's your spiritual act. It is a choice. So as he transforms you, choose to worship him. The other thing I want to go to, look at the effect in these three verses that being hidden in God has on the bride in Song of Songs. The bride in Song of Songs can be a picture of the church, with the beloved being Jesus. And if we compare these verses as we go through the book, the effect is really striking. So the first one at the beginning of the book, my beloved, which is Jesus, is mine and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies. Then a bit later on, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies. And then towards the end of the book, it says, I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Note here how at the beginning of the book, it's all about her possession of Jesus. He belongs to me. Whereas at the end, there's nothing to do with her at all. Her identity is completely in Jesus' love towards her. So as we are hidden in God, the effect it has on us is that we have a deeper understanding of God's love for us. As we show him our face, we see his character, we gaze upon his beauty, and we know his love for us. She comes to know her identity is completely in Jesus. She finds security not in her possession of him, but in his devoted love to her. His desire is towards me. Being hidden in God, therefore, leads to a deeper understanding of all this, of his love and his devotion and his desire towards us. That will lead to us knowing our identity in him and being transformed into his likeness. And what better time, then, to turn your face towards God, to know his devotion towards you, than this Christmas, the time when we remember God's love for us in coming to earth and making himself nothing and later dying on that cross that we might be separate, that we might never be separated from the love of God. Isaiah 7:14 says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. Emmanuel, God, came to be with us that we might be forever hidden in him, to know his love and his devotion. If you don't know God with you, then you're hiding from him. As Adam and Eve hid in the Garden of Eden, you are hiding from God unless you are hidden in him. God earnestly desires that relationship with you, though. That is his deepest desire for you, that you become hidden in him, that you turn your face towards him, and that you know him. If you want to know more, please speak to one of our leadership team. But if you do know Christ as your Savior today, you are hidden in God. His presence goes with you, and you can be confident in his goodness. He wants you to show him your face, that you might gaze upon his beauty and be transformed evermore into his likeness. So if you are hidden in God today, might I encourage you this Christmas, show him your face and let him transform you. See him at work. It is all through him. I want to close, therefore, by praying over you these words from Ephesians, which says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.